Good evening. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is where the bulk of our study this evening will come from. Before we get off into that, October 24th, that's a Saturday, at 5:30 in the evening, we're going to host everyone that wants to come, and we encourage all of you to come, from the little bitty ones all the way up to the ones that can't hardly get around. We'll make a way for you to get around, I promise you. We're going to have a bonfire slash Winnie roast cookout, marshmallows, s'mores, and then after that, we'll have a hayride down there. If you've got a fishing pole, you want to bring a fishing pole, bring a fishing pole. And we'll have a hayride back there. And then on the way out, kind of as we exit to leave, we'll do kind of like a trunk or treat type thing for the kids. Or if you want to disguise yourself as a kid and you're 25 and try to sneak some candy out of some folks, you can try that too. But that'll be at my grandparents' house, Glenn and Betty Brackeen's, on Wells Street. And we'll get you more information about that coming up. And I think Haley's got a list of stuff she's going to put up for, like, chips and maybe like a veggie tray or something, drinks for people, if you can, bring. But that'll be the 24th of October at 5:30. 17:30 is when this will happen. All right. Have you ever heard the adage of great minds think alike? Well, I have, and it's more and more evident today. We're not going to talk about grouse, but we're going to talk about a little bit about people who have complained. And you hear people complain all the time, just like the lesson this morning was on. You hear people gripe and complain. You hear a lot of negative things on the news. If you don't believe me, turn on the news tonight and more of the news will be on negative things. And this bad thing happened. This was robbed. This burned. This was murdered all over town, all over the country. That's what you're going to see. And that rolls over into people's lives. And they even begin to ask us, what's so great about being a Christian? Why would anybody ever want to do that? Why does anybody want to be a Christian? And as I could talk to you until midnight and then thereafter about the beauties and the wonders of what being a child of God involves, we're just going to look at this one simple passage for time reasons. But you hear people say, well, why would I want to be a Christian? It's so constraining. It's so combining. Why would anybody ever want to do that? Because there's never been such freedom as being a Christian. Because when you live in sin, you live in the bondage and slavery of sin, you got to keep your story straight. You got to be sure that when I think about before I really began my walk with Christ, I would be this way with one group of friends, I'd be this way with another group of friends, I would act like this, and I would be over here this way and over here the other way. And boy, it's hard to keep all that straight. I forgot who I was around and how I needed to act around who I was acting around. But when you decide to put on Christ, all that other stuff, it doesn't really matter. Because that's the only thing you want to be seen as, is a Christian. And the freedom and the peace of mind knowing that a Christian is just at ease. That's a little bit about what our lesson is. But what's so great about being a Christian? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you will greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what does it mean? What's so great about being Christian? In verse 3, we have a hope through the resurrection. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, He has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And it is through the resurrection that we have hope, and that we have assurance of the things to come. And that's been preached by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, "Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile, for you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life we only have hope in Christ, we are all of men most pitiable." He says if there is not a resurrection, then everything that we've said is a lie. Everything that we hope in is fake if there is no resurrection. But it is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we receive the abundant mercy, and we have the comfort of knowing that this really happened. Paul says, if this didn't happen, if Jesus wasn't risen from the dead, then we're all false preachers. Because this is what we have said that is of God, that Jesus was risen from the dead. And in verse 19, it states probably the more truth of the whole matter. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're absolutely pitiful. Because we're enduring all this abuse, this persecution, this hatred, this neglect from the world for what? For nothing. If Christ is not risen from the dead. But we know that Christ is risen from the dead. And that through His resurrection, we have hope. We have hope of an inheritance that will not fade away. He tells us in verse 4. "An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." That's where the inheritance lies. Because of God's abundant mercy and because of His love, through the resurrection of His Son, you have an inheritance. And that inheritance doesn't go away. Jesus spoke in His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where neither thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This inheritance which we have does not fade away. It is in heaven, where we should be laying up our treasures and our dreams. We should be putting up those things in heaven because that's where our heart should be. He says, where your heart, where your treasures are, that's where your heart is. Where, if we looked at our lives individually, and we said, where is your treasures at? People know where your heart is. Because they see the things you take close to you. They see the things that you treasure, the things that you hold on to, the things that you most deeply care about, those are the things that are in your heart. What are the things you're holding on to, that you're holding in your heart? He said, put up these things in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. Mama's got a cedar chest. like I imagine many of you do. You got that old cedar chest? If I was to guess where it was at, it's at the foot of the bed. Yeah, that's about like everybody else's house. Everybody's got a cedar chest. It's at the foot of the bed over in the corner in the bedroom. What's in that cedar chest? Well, I'm gonna go even crazier. I'm going to say you got some quilts that Grandmama made in there. You got some of your kids' clothes in there. You got some real nice linen things that are sentimental that you hold on to in there, right? Man, has he been in my house? No, I just know how everybody is. So you got that cedar chest in there, and you got those clothes in there, and those quilts in there, and you got those things you hold on real dear and near and dear in your heart, right? Well, why did you put them in a cedar chest? Why is the real reason you put it in a cedar? Well, because moths won't go through that cedar, right? Well, we're going to put it in here. We're going to keep the moths out. Why do you want to keep the moths out? Because they're going to eat up all that clothing, right? What God said, in a nutshell, is, I've built you a cedar chest to put all the stuff that you ought to hold near and dear to you. Put that stuff in my cedar chest where it's not going to be destroyed. Nothing can get into it. Nothing can break it. Nothing. No one can break in and steal it because I've built it and I've built it for you. And it is in that place that your inheritance lies. In heaven. That place which God built for His children. How are we kept with that inheritance? How are we assured of that inheritance? We are kept in salvation by God's power. In verse 5 he said, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You're kept in the power of God through faith, through your salvation. God's power keeps you there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is not to say that, by any means, that I'm preaching to you that once you're saved, you're always saved. But rather to say that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So as long as we are in Christ Jesus, as long as we are electing to serve Him, there's nothing that could happen to separate us from that love. Think about Peter for just a moment. Peter, at the time in which he wrote 1 Peter, think about some of the things that were going on in the world. Think about the ones who were in power. Think about the great Nero and all the slumber parties he was throwing for Christians. No. He was killing anything that acted like, looked like, might be a Christian. We're going to get rid of it. How could Peter write such a thing to say that we have this inheritance? Because he knew the power of God. He knew what God had inspired Paul to write in Romans 8. That it wouldn't be, there would be no principalities, there would be no powers that could separate me from the love of God. Peter knew that it might be bad. Paul said it might be bad now. It might be things to come. Nothing now nor in the future nor created things shall ever separate you from the love of God. As a Christian, you can find nothing more easing to me than knowing as long as I choose to serve God, as long as I have faith in Him, He's faithful to me. He's not going to turn His back on me. Because there's nothing that can come between us. Because we have such a strong bond in His Son. Think for a moment of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he left home. And when he left home, he lived it up for a while. Because I'm finally out from under daddy's wings, daddy's supervision, him telling me when to get up, him telling me when to go lay down, him telling me to look over the people in the field. I was tired. Now I've got freedom. I'm on my own. I can do my own thing. That lasted as long as his money did. I don't think his money didn't last because his daddy didn't tell him how to spend money and how to use money. I think it lasted because he forgot all of it. That's not the point of the story. I need to get off the prodigal son sermon, stick to the point. Okay. The prodigal son, while he was out on his own, did not have the protection of the father. Because he went out to do his own thing his own way. And we think about the father going, man, I know he's ruining it. I know he's just throwing it all. I know he's wasting it. I really want him to come out. He's got to come back home. One day he's got to come back home. How many times have you heard it said and you've thought about yourself, him coming out on the front porch of the house and looking down the driveway maybe and just going, come on, just any second I'm going to see him round the corner up there walking. And eventually, one day, he was right. What did the father do to him? The whole time the son was gone, did the father quit loving the child? I don't believe so. Because if he quit loving the child, he wouldn't have ran and met him with arms wide open in those loving arms and grabbed him and held him close. He said, my son, thank you. Thank you for coming home. They threw him a big party, killed the fatted calf. And the son just wanted to come back as a slave. You see, God views us as the same way. Whenever we decide to branch out on our own and do our own thing, He is mournful of the fact that we have gone away. But that didn't remove the fact that He loves us and He wants us to come back home. And that when we decide to come back home as Christians, as His children, He says, I love you. Thank you for coming back home. I can take care of you now. I can protect you now. Because you've decided to come back home. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God except for ourselves leaving Him. Verse 6 said, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if in need be, you have grieved by various trials. You say persecution is only here on earth. Trials and tribulations are only on this present earth planet in which we live. Now, James was not speaking about being tried in James 4. He was talking about you need to worry about right here and now because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. But I think about this life. And how short it is, you can't help but think about James 4, verse 14. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That did not remove the fact of the trueness of what he said about how long life was. Being just a vapor that just is here for a moment and then gone. I don't think it's been quite cold enough as of recently. But you've all been outside when it's cool, crisp, cold morning, afternoon, night. And you breathed out. And you see that little cloud of your breath just kind of float, right? Then that water vapor just disappears. It evaporates. James says that's exactly what your life is like. The amount of time that lasts is just so small. He said, but your life is the same way. And so when I think about the persecutions that I'm enduring or the sufferings that I'm going through, the trials that we have to go through in life, I think it's only for the same amount of time that vapor is. Because it's only here on earth. Because those trials, those tribulations, those sufferings aren't going to be in heaven. And whether you're a Christian or you're lost, you're going to be tried. Everyone is tried and tempted. You see, for those who are Christians, those trials, those temptations, we have something to look forward to because we know if I can just get through this, if I can just muster through this, I know that those trials are only here on earth. And that I'm going to a place, if I can endure this and remain faithful to God, I'm going to that inheritance of which He promised me, where there will be nothing to destroy me. Nothing can happen to me. But if you're lost, and you're going through the suffering, these trials, well, that's pitiful. Because you're going through it, and you go, man, well, how can it get worse? Well, it's going to get a whole lot worse when you breathe your last breath. Because that's when the real suffering is going to start. That's when the real pain is going to kick in. Because you were lost. You're not a child of God. You've got no hope of a betterment to come. And you have a lot to complain about because you are outside of the arms of the Father. Because you're lost. In verse 7, it says, that the genuineness of your faith may be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, genuine faith is precious. That true faith, that which saves us. So all these things on earth are going to perish. All of these things are going to fade away. Even gold will perish. It will be done away with. Think about paper money. You might say, hey, I got $500 I'm going to bury in a Folgers can back behind the house. Well, the thing about that money, if that's paper money, you go out there with a dollar. Why don't you go bury a dollar in the ground? Go back, check on that dollar about 6 months. Hopefully, there will be enough of that dollar left that you can pawn it off on somebody else and get a dollar that actually looks like a dollar. Because that dollar's going to disintegrate. It's going to turn into nothing. Just a little heads up on what's going to happen. It's all going to go away. It's all going to perish. Even gold will fade away. Even gold will perish. But the thing that's going to keep on keeping on going is that faith. Our faith can withstand the test of time because it is of the greatest riches of the world. Nothing is greater than faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And when He comes again, it is with our faith that we can praise, honor, and glory in the revelation of Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you here this evening and you're not a Christian? And you've asked the question, what's so great about being a Christian? The blessed peace of mind that comes to know that this world is just temporary. And that what happens here, just temporary. It's just a vapor. My life is just passing through. And I've laid up those treasures in heaven where nothing can destroy it. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, I hope you will become one. If you've been thinking about it, deliberating on it, wondering about it, talk to somebody. See me, see Brother Robert, see one of the elders. Ask. I'll be glad to help you even more so if you want to be speaking in a private matter. But if you once was a child of God and you wandered away, you have opportunity now to come back home like the prodigal son where the love of God is still waiting for you, open arms. If you're subject to the invitation anyway, please come as we stand and as we sing.